G'day, by them, Suffolk Ram.
Skazius.
Welcome to episode 197 of the Randos podcast.
Yes.
I've got white this time because I just realised I got sent Skaz the audio file last week sent with the wrong title.
Which is fine because I corrected it anyway.
He did correct it that way because it came back like, I thought, because the trouble was, you see, I'd saved to the last episode and the episode before, both as 196.
Yeah, you've done that a couple times. You've fucking tripped me out. I was like, shit. I need to listen to this back again. Wait, is that right? Did he say it right? Let me check the feed. Nope, that is right.
I looked at the two and thinking now, question is, which one of these is the correct one? And I'd assumed, quite logically, that when I saved it, I'd just forgot to change the title and was on the old save and should have changed to 197. But in fact, I'd saved 1966 correctly, and I'd saved 195 as 196. And that was my actual mistake. So I could have gone on YouTube and checked, and I would have known immediately which one was correct, but I didn't.
That's the exact same thing I used to do with the daily vlogs. I'd look at it, and I'd go, shit, was that a leap year? Crap, why is the day, like, why is that not in sync anymore? Oh my God, have I missed one? Oh no! And I'd actually go onto like a date calculator and start having to do all this stuff to figure out if I'd missed one or not.
Yeah. So, you know, numbers.
Good times.
They confuse us.
That's true. It is true. And then when you didn't send me the goddamn files, did you?
No. You see, that was my second mistake. So the trouble was, normally I upload them immediately afterwards and send them straight across. And I said to you, I'll send them tomorrow. And of course, my brain went to, I've already sent them.
Yeah, so, well, I thought I'd already downloaded them, Ram. I thought I already had them. So I was like, I checked on my machine on the server. Huh. There's no files. Launched up the laptop. There's no files. Check Discord. There's no fucking files. And I'm freaking out, going, I ain't got long to do these and send them in.
Has he sent it via Slack? Has he sent it via Skype?
Oh, God, don't.
Because that would be the random thing we would do at some point. Oh, I'll send it to you via Slack.
You know, fucking fine. Oh yeah, I'm gonna send it to you over FTP, mate. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I'll send it to you via torrent.
Mate, I've burnt onto a CD for you. I've posted it.
I fucking posted it on fucking 15 floppy disks. It's not that small.
Yeah, a lot more than 15 floppy disks given the size of my audio file.
Yeah. I get like a crate of floppy disks come through, and they're all mislabeled. Yeah, or they're not labelled at all.
No, you just get a knock at the door one day and there's a guy and he's got like 100 boxes. So you say, and you open them up and they're punch cards. I've encoded it as binary for you.
It's like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. I'll send you the reader as well.
And then someone, they move one of the cards from the red file back over. Yeah. Fuck.
It moves round. You get to the end, last card goes through, it just says, error, damage header. And you'll go, fuck.
You'd fucking hear me curse you from here to the fucking moon, I'm telling you.
I can just see you now when your caput has that screen goes boomf, or that Windows goes a dun when it goes wrong, and you should sit up at the sort of ceiling, the camera all zooms and pans out, and you go, as it pans up, because obviously the ceilings disappeared for the purposes of this. It's
far out.
And it cuts to a shot of me on the farm putting some food down and going, what is that?
Oh, see. Good times.
Sorry, Editor Skaz, for your ears. I do apologise in advance. And sorry, listeners, for your ears, unless Skaz has cut this out. In which case, I don't apologise.
At which point, what am I talking about?
Yeah, just leave that bit in where I just apologise to him for nothing.
I should actually probably start doing that, shouldn't I? Make an apology cast?
Oh, we've done that once already.
Mate, seriously, a number of times, probably a couple of weeks ago, the number of times mic stands were hit, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Was that the Zabercast?
That might have been.
I think he's having issues with his mic.
Not only was he having, there was something going on, and I swear someone was listening to TV in background of his audio. And I was just sat there rocking backwards and forwards going, if I can adjust this just right, I won't have to keep cutting his audio. And thankfully, I think I managed to mask it quite well.
Oh, dear. Do you have you got like a filter like remove Danish?
Well, yeah, no.
Well, you should.
I might have to get one designed.
Yeah, well, that removes all Danish noises, and
yes, the saber just disappears. Can we get an AI that fills in the gaps?
No, because he speaks English, so he's all right.
It would not with his dodgy twins, you don't.
I know. I think.
Mate, they watch loads of British TV in Denmark. And American, that you can't filter that out. They subtitle it.
That's true. Oh, but if it's subtitles, no, it wouldn't work, would it?
I was going to say subtitles. Like, subtitles, just because the subtitles are in Danish, what's it going to do? Remove the subtitles from their shit.
Why not?
What about the audio in my file?
Well, you know, for some reason, my brain switched then, didn't it? My brain took a second to trick. Well, because my phone thought, well, if it's subtitles, it's okay, because it'll still be in Danish, just with English subtitles. I thought, no, hang on.
You nugget.
Yeah, hang on, I've gone all English-centric there for a second.
Oh, dear.
anyway, so, you been up to anything, Skaz?
Fuck no.
Good.
It's been chaos for months.
Oh, good.
Make it stop.
Well, I've been up to stuff.
Have you? What's that?
I have. I'm playing a game. I'm playing a cyberpunk game.
All right.
Yeah, I'm playing a little cyberpunk game. I've been playing Stray.
Oh, all right, kitty game. Well, I'm going to be a bit of a dick. I lied to you. I've played the first chapter.
Oh, right.
I played a little bit of it. I don't know how much I've played, but I played a little bit. Have you?
I finished it.
Oh, have you? Okay, yeah. Cool.
So it's a very short game. If you plow through it, you know, you don't spend time doing like little side quests. There aren't many, but if you don't spend time doing side quests, you can plow through it on a first one, I reckon, about 4 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, I'll tell you what Steam says I played it for, but if I hit 6 hours, I'd be surprised.
Oh, God, damn.
Seamless. Yeah, it's not a long game. I looked on how long to beat, so curiosity about it, and the average player says, you say, about 4.5 hours.
See, I think I've had two in the game, but most of that has been interrupted or sat on the title fucking screen. So.
Yeah. I think when I played it after the first sort of night, I thought I'd done quite a lot, and I went back next sort of a couple of days later, and I'd only played it for barely three hours, but in-game time. So yeah. Yeah, so Stray, the cat game, as everybody on Reddit's been calling it, for some reason, because I can't pronounce Stray. you play a cat,
cat,
yeah, and you with your cat mates, your cat family, and you can play with your cat family, and clearly somebody's own kittens, because you know you play. I don't know how much is motion capture and how much is animation, but there's lots of cat. A very realistic cat behaviour. You've owned cats, I've owned cats. We know how this works.
Yes.
Yes. And your little cat family, and you're outside in this place, it's all like quite a nice looking place actually. It's also sort of like sort of run down, sort of after the end type place. And you're wandering around and you're going out hunting as a group for some reason, because you know cats do, but they don't. But you go out hunting and then you all jump in the pipe and then you, like a little tosser, miss. And you fall off your pipe and you find yourself in the futuristic city.
And now, hang on. A case in point of why you shouldn't trust cats. The three bastards just look over the edge at you as you're about to fall. Go, fuck him then.
To be fair, there wasn't a lot they could do.
Nah, but mate, they looked at him. Dead fucking, like the stare of death. Cold cat eyes staring as your eyes widen as you're about to fall to your possible doom. And they're like, fuck him. More for us.
Well, according to Steam, I have played for 6.5 hours, but then there will be title sequence time in that. So I went, it's more like 5.5. And fair apparently, up. You're currently in-game.
Eh?
Yep, Skazius is away, he's in-game in Stray.
Oh, fuck off. Well, there you go. I've been playing it for about 7 hours then.
Yep, I have the evidence in front of me.
Fucking so, piece of shit computer.
I will say when you're down the bottom, because you wake up and you're limping, your cat though gets to the limp very quickly, but you're limping, and all you can hear is your mates all meowing for you, and they're so pitifully, it's like, oh, I'm down here, come help me.
And I've just unhooked, sorry, I've just unhooked the HDMI cable from my TV. Oh no, and it's crashed! Like, go away, Stray, fuck off. Oh. I can't get rid of it! Oh, it's crashed! Oh yeah, great game. Great game. Game of the year. I've played it for... How long have I played it now? How long has it say I've been playing it for? I don't know, long time probably. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've heard people call it an action adventure. I call it a platformer.
It's a puzzler.
The puzzles aren't... I wouldn't say the puzzles particularly... I wouldn't say puzzles particularly that...
They're not, but hard. Tetris isn't. Tetris doesn't have particularly difficult puzzles, but it's still considered a puzzle game. I wouldn't even consider it a platformer, considering you can't fucking fall.
No, you can't fall, but you jump around a lot.
Okay.
You jump around a lot, and there is actiony bits later on. Have you met the little Greeblies yet?
Oh, the trash disposal. Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've met those, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that you—that's sort of your action bit. So, yeah, you basically sort of you jump about, and you sort of explore things eventually, and your first sort of kind of little greedy things. They don't do anything the first time, but they just sort of run away from you. They don't bother you, and you meet a lot of them, and they go fuck you, pussycat, and they come after you, and you have to run away from them, and they run, and the game is really nice and fun, and puts them right in your path every single time. And they jump on you, and you have to shake them off. And if you don't shake them off, they eat you.
Yep.
It's great. And then eventually...
Did you get killed by them?
I've a couple of times. Not in the first chase, but later on when you counted lots more of them, I got killed by a few times. But the first chase, I made it through unscathed.
Oh, there you go.
More by luck than judgment, but I did make it through. And eventually you get to your little like robot village called the Slums. And that's when you find out basically humanity's gone. It's all over. You're all this city that's sort of sealed in, and most of the robots there have become sentient. Mm-hmm. So they're originally prone just to be little helper robots and so forth, and they've actually become sentient. Oh, on the way, you've met a little friend, this little floaty thing called B12, who is your sort of, he's your guide. He also has a little backpack for you that he hides in and sits in. You can sort of see, if you sort of spin your camera around, you can see him sat in your backpack, and he digitizes things and moves stuff around for you. So he's sort of like, he's your way of interacting with the world, because hey, you're a cat, you don't have opposable thumbs. And
true.
So you saw, and he can also translate the robots, so you can't speak the robot language because they developed their own language.
Yeah, he talks to them for you and then relays it.
Yeah.
Or relays what you need to know.
Yes. I think it's quite sort of neat. I did this sort of entire society just formed after humanity's gone, and they've developed their own language, their own art style, their own which they've also copied a lot of human things. So they dress like humans a lot, and they sort of copy a lot of things humans do, and they don't need to. So things in the slums, you go to a restaurant, there's food there, and he says something like, "Well, they don't need to eat or drink, so but why do they?" And so there's also a lot of like they've just sort of copied and so forth and followed on. And your first bit of slums, you saw your first sort of like hub area where you can sort of like talk to, you know, the robots, and they'll give you little side quests, and you can go off and do said side quests. Nothing particularly strenuous. I think I did all side quests pretty much in my first like session. I did all of them fairly quickly. If you just like explore, you'll get everything you need to do just by exploring. There's a couple bits that you have to do some sort of like some degree of puzzling to achieve, but most of
the puzzles. I didn't even realize there was a side quest in the slums, to be honest.
There's not many. There's like a musician who you can get music sheets to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a marketplace guy who, if you bring certain items to, he'll give you certain items. And there's one other thing. Oh, there's one sort of like later on you encounter where it's like you find a cold robot who needs a shirt, which you can get by going to the guy and getting something off him, which gets a shirt and so forth. So there are sort of little side missions about. And the robots are like sort of like, and Yeah, so you basically saw, you can hop about. It's very Assassin's Creed, but without the assassinations, really. You're just popping about, really. Also, I wouldn't really call it much of a puzzler, because there wasn't really... There's like one thing which you have to think about a little bit how to do, but that's it. I mean, I have found it quite fun. I quite like the sort of like environment stuff. I wouldn't say it's anything particularly special. The big sort of safe factor is you're a cat. Other than that, it's a fairly run-of-the-mill, just jump about, quite low-brow... Not low-brow, one word.
It's thin.
So it's thin, yeah. There's not a lot to it. I think people are slightly obsessed with the fact that, hey, I'm playing as a cat. And if that's the state the game has got to, where the fact that you play as a cat makes it the game of the year, I think it's a problem.
A lot of people have said that it's like swinging for some kind of award, haven't they? It's like, really? Like, don't get me wrong, I haven't played a huge amount of it. It's all right, but...
Yeah, it's all, yeah. Novelty-wise, yeah, I'll give it, it's a novelty. It's interesting, it's a bit different. Okay, it's a bit out there, a bit different, a bit strange, you know, fair enough. But it's not a... If I was going to give it a rating, I'd give it sort of mid-70s. You know, it's
yeah,
okay.
I'd probably give it a 6.
Yeah, it's 6 okay. It's okay. It's works, it's structural. There's nothing really broken in it. I didn't encounter any bugs the whole time I played through it, so it all works. Not counting all greeblies. And it's a fairly straightforward fun game. I enjoyed my time with it. The four and a half, five hours I put into it, maybe six, I don't know how many. That's about as much as I'd want to put into it. I wouldn't want to be playing 10 or 12 hours of it. I don't think there's enough in there. I mean, it does sort of like change things up a little bit later on. But unfortunately, you're going to love it later on, because later on you have to start doing some stealth missions.
Ugh.
So it does change things. There is definitely a sort of tonal shift where after you sort of get out of a section with the little greeblies, you get to like the next area, which is the mid-tier sort of city, which is like the sort of last mission area. And again, it's not really a from a hub. There's a couple little side quests, but they are all to get to your net. To that, they're sort of like part of your main mission sort of side quests.
Sure.
You have to do them to get to your objective. That is sort of like the sort of last bit. But you'll off that point, you don't encounter the greeblies anymore. You have like a different set of enemies, so it does sort of change style and gears later on. It's fairly neat, fairly fun, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's anything I particularly want to write home about. You have collectibles in it, the form of the memories, which are about
what basically tell you like lore and things like that. I mean, you can completely miss huge chunks of lore by not scanning like paintings, posters, graffiti, signage, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the game will actually, when you, your little robot, when he recovers a memory, you've got like sort of two sets of bars. You've got like, it's like these big chunks at the top of the sort of like, it's like a three, like a little grid appears. There's like three big sections of the grid, five big sections of the grid. They're like the story based memories that you unlock as you play the story. And you always unlock those. Then below that is like a grid of, I think, about 20. Like mini memories, which you encounter. Yeah. But the game is quite kind enough to actually highlight the ones that, not just the ones that you've unlocked, but the ones that are in the area you're in.
Mm.
So you know how many there are to find. Trouble is, most of the areas being fairly linear and the way the game drives you forward, if you miss them, that doesn't help you because you can't go back.
Sure.
And see him again and so forth. Has got a chapter select. I don't know if you can go back to the chapters and it's like Game Plus where what you've unlocked stays unlocked and you can just go back through and find the stuff you're missing.
Mm-hmm.
I've not tried that.
I haven't tried it either, to be honest with you.
Well, I see, with you only the sort of like the first bit, so...
I had been tempted because I kept getting interrupted today. I was like, you know what, I was gonna like just restart the game, but I was like, you know what, nah, fuck it. I might reload the chapter. I said, nah, screw it. I'm not far enough to really justify doing this entire section again, kind of thing.
No.
Because that would have probably killed it for me straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the fact that you can be an asshole cat. That's quite there is a novelty factor to that. And whoever's written it and whoever designed it, they clearly own cats. because all the little things, like when you clap, when you're jumping off things, you can just nudge things off the edges and drop onto people's heads. That's nice. That's neat. And the bit where you, and there are random places you can go to sleep, just random places you can just curl up and go to sleep, and the camera sort of pans out. That's sort of like, again, someone's like, oh yeah, cats can do that sort of shitty stuff. And no one really explains though why your cat is so intelligent that it knows what to do. Because I've owned cats, and no cat would be as helpful as this cat is.
No, you're probably right. No, I agree. It's like, agree.
Yeah, it's like, you want me to do this to retrieve your dad to get things? I think not. I think you're going to go get your dad back and get the stuff off him, and I'm going to take credit for it.
Cats will never save society like shown in this game. I'm just saying, if you've got a cat and you're expecting that motherfucker to save you when the zombies turn up, you're out of luck.
Yeah. well, I've got some nibs. I love the fact that early on, if you're walking around sort of the city, that before you encounter your little robot buddy, if they go past the cameras are watching. If you meow, they nod at you. I thought that was quite funny.
That was kind of neat. I thought that was quite cute.
Yeah, and sort of like it will show you what to do as you meow. It's all like it'll highlight little lights and stuff, so you can sort of like call for assistance and it'll give assistance. Mm-hmm. And the meow becomes useful later when you use it to distract enemies and stuff. But meowing, yowling at them, they'll come looking for you, and you can call on. You know, there's bits that you can call under. So the enemies, I said there's a stealth section later on. The enemies are as thick as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can be pursued by a dozen drones and they're chasing you. If they see you jump into the box, they go, oh, I guess he's not there anymore. Oh, I'm off I go then. And they'll float away.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah, the enemies are thick as shit. It feels like this. I don't know how big the team who made this is. It feels very indie. I don't think it's made by a small team. I don't think it's massive. I think it's all like mid-tier team. But it feels very...
I didn't look.
Yeah. It feels fairly... For some reason, it feels quite like an indie. A very well-polished... I mean, it's a well-polished game. I think it looks very nice.
Sure.
It plays on my rig. And my rig's old. It's got PlayStation 4 version as well.
Mm-hmm. But that's set to 30 FPS, isn't it? The PlayStation 4 version.
Yeah, but it looks. I mean, so it played fine on my rig. I was quite pleased.
There's some terrible frame pacing issues on PC, but I mean that's nothing unusual. To be fair, the occasional hitching and things. That's completely expected.
There's one area which I did have some bad stuttering in, but it seemed a bit random. It wasn't like a big open area either. It's just like this one little bit, like whenever I move the camera, it stuttered for a fraction.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the Caspian in Metro. It's like for some reason this RAM level, for no real reason, just seems to have problems. There's
just texture caching. If I had to guess, it's probably texture caching.
Probably. Yeah,
a lot of games seem to have issues with texture caching these days.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it was a little bit stuttery here and there. But overall, other than that, it played fine. But I liked the world. I thought that was it. I thought the world was interesting, and I wanted to learn more about it and explore the world more. I liked the sort of the artistic style. I thought the robots were very well done. The way sort of they were their little LCD faces and stuff sort of. There are to sort of express, but I also have different. You can tell a personality just by looking at it and so forth, and they've done a lot of work on that to make it a bit more personality. And as you encounter other ones, they've sort of customized themselves. So there's like one which is clearly a reference to Back to the Future, where he's got like sort of like coils of wire around his head to look like the Doc from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of sort of stuff like that. So I like the sort of, that sort of style. I found it very atmospheric.
Yes.
The game feels very oppressive, and like you're in this run-down, dead city. It feels like it as well. And when you're walking around, when you get higher up, it sort of it feels like a progression. I like that. There's a lot to like about the game, but at the same time, it's nothing. If you remove the cat and put a person there, it wouldn't be anything special.
No,
it's very much playing on novelty factor. It ends on a very bittersweet note, and there feels like some opening for a sequel. I'm not sure. I don't think you could do a sequel to this game.
It's like, please don't.
No, I don't.
Everything needs a sequel.
No, I don't. I don't. Perhaps a short little bit of DLC that sort of finishes the story off the cat. Because his story really finish. But it doesn't need a sequel. Because I don't really think there's nothing you can do. Because sort of like the whole big point of the first game is to get outside. And of course, at the end, you achieve that factor. You get back outside. But there's no... I think there's so much... Because the whole game is geared around that whole idea. There's not enough... They'd have to invent a whole new set of things to describe what's there outside to sort of make it work. And I just don't feel that... I don't feel that has got that sort of potential. But as one of those games I'll put down as a... It's a neat game. Nice bit of novelty. A bit different. I liked it. Definitely won't be my game. Wouldn't be a game of the year contender for me. Definitely not.
No. Not even close.
No, definitely not.
No, you're right. It's pretty. It's gimmicky, but it's fucking empty.
Yes.
And if you didn't look for those memories, the world would be just eh. Because you wouldn't know anything that's going on. It's all about you looking around and finding the lore.
The memories are... All the memories I found by accident.
Yeah.
Because they are... They have a small amount of highlighting around them, but they're not really that heavily highlighted. So unless you sort of run into them, you're not going to find them.
Sure.
And you sort of do get pretty much the whole... Most of the key parts of the story you get from the sort of like the main bits you have to unlock. There are some bits you get from the side memories, but and there's some interesting bits where you find out where the Greeblies come from, where you find out their background, what caused them to exist.
Yeah. That was actually my favourite memory at this point.
Yeah, that is the. I mean, you're if you've got to that bit, you're probably about halfway through the game, Skaz.
Really?
Yeah, if you've got to that bit, you're near your best part of halfway through.
I just got into a lift.
What, to go up to put the transmitter up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say perhaps not quite halfway through, probably like 40-45% the way through, I'd say.
Jesus.
Yeah. I play the game over 2 nights.
Sure.
And that bit you done, I think, was the last thing I did on my first night.
Oh, wow.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I did that bit, and then I was going to go, there's a bit where you have to go get a weapon to fight the Greeblies. And that's going to leave to get that weapon was the last thing I did, which I think is going to be virtually the next thing you do.
Sure.
And that would be about, yeah. And then after that, I'd say, you're probably about 45% of the way through the game.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's not a long game.
Wow. Okay.
If you've not done any of the side missions, I mean, obviously, if I didn't at this point, I've done all the side missions in the hub.
I haven't done any of them. The only reason my playtime is even halfway as high as it is because every time I sat down, someone would come and talk to me, and I'd have to then get up and go and do something else.
Yeah.
And I'd pause. I mean, I was live, and I think. For probably over a third of my session, my Be Right Back screen was up.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was very little gameplay going on in the time that I've had the game launched. Because once the game tells you how to run, like literally I just had hold of run, had hold of the A button, and the cat was just bouncing around the buildings. Yeah. I was just sprinting up things. I stopped. I tried to move as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not wasted my time with any of the side mission-y stuff. And I, to be honest with you, I'm not really all that interested in it.
I mean, I've done all side missions. I did talk to all the robots. I mean, they've only got like one line of say, so it wasn't... I don't mind talking to NPCs, but if they have like an entire 2 or 3 paragraphs of backstory and reasoning, I get bored. But if it's if they have got 2 or 3 sentences that just give you a brief explanation of who they are, what they are, and where they are, just to give them a bit of flavour, that's fine. I'll talk to everybody then. I don't mind doing that because that's a little bit. There's nothing of flavour. But if I was like, I've got to read through your entire life history for all 500 NPCs in this map, that ain't happening.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Okay. I mean, there's, I said this. Yeah, I would say that's roughly where you are. And But yeah, that bit of lore, that was like the most, that I would say that was like the most, oh shit, sort of, I was like, oh, that's what they are. Because I didn't want, because when I first encountered those little green beasts, I thought they were little robots.
Yeah.
It's only the sort of later so on that bit.
I realised straight out. So as soon as the cat walks by, right after you see them, the robots go on to alert, don't they? They kind of panic a bit.
Yeah, and they like, do say
the
you.
Robots are absolutely terrified of organic life.
Yeah.
And there's like a sign or something that says a certain thing. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, ah, okay, I get where this is going. And then when they explained what they were originally, I was like, yeah, like I'd already kind of sussed out what they were.
Yeah.
But that kind of confirmed it.
I'm intrigued that's what they were, because I thought, you know, in a future world, mutated sort of futuristic world, I thought could be anything sort of like, I thought they're obviously some sort of like man-made life, but I like their neat backstory of what they were.
Yeah, what they were for.
What they were for originally, or where they evolved from. And I thought it was like a neat little bit, because the sort of recurring theme about humanity is we tried and we got a bit beyond our boots and fucked it up.
It's usually the case.
That's all the theme you encounter when you're going through it. It's all we hear, that's all the mysteries you hear about what humans did was, yeah, we tried to basically not so much play God, but by doing what we tried, we fucked things up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the companions are sort of the only good thing that came out of it, because they're called companions. They're the only good thing that came out of it. We basically created a new life form, and they've developed and they've evolved their own society. But the trouble is they've copied human society. They have like a poor class and a non-poor class for no reason, apart from that's what the humans did. And they have that. I find that sort of like that idea of sort of like the civilization just forming off from our ash. I find that quite interesting. And the last, I will say, the last bit of the game is very, very poignant, very beautiful. I won't spoil it, but at the very end of the game, the way it's framed, where the camera frames what you're doing, and if you sort of let the game run by itself, and it's just, it's calm and quiet, and it just sort of demonstrates that it's a beautiful little scene, which I particularly enjoyed, and didn't bring a tear to the eye, but I did find it somewhat moving.
Sure.
So it was neat, but yeah. But overall, I would say it's a neat game. It's just nothing special.
Yeah. I said it's worth the cash that we paid for, like 20, 25 quid.
That's a very good point, Skaz. It is for a game that's just been released. It's about 20 quid.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant. That's in that regard, I've got no qualms in the money I spent on it at all.
If you're on PlayStation, because I actually had the option to play this on PlayStation 5, if you have the PlayStation Plus, I don't know what it is, but you know, like Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah.
Sony have their version of that. If you have that, Stray's free to play.
Oh, even better. Perfect.
So you could just hit the button and play it. I opted against playing it on the PlayStation 5. The PlayStation 5 has some extra features in it, but I wanted to play it on PC, to be honest, because the PlayStation 5 can eat shit for all I care. I have one, just it's just such a nightmare, and the control pad is terrible, but all the gimmicks are based on the control pad. So as an example, when you, like, the cat can claw things, can't, like furniture and things, that will adjust the tension on the triggers to make you kind of feel resistance as the cat is clawing on furniture. The control pad will vibrate, and the sound of a cat's purr will come through when the cat is sleeping. So it'll kind of like rumble or vibrate in time with the purr of the cat whilst it's sleeping. Little bits like that. To me, I don't like gimmicks in games tied to hardware. It really annoys me. But those are the added benefits of that, and all of the frame pacing issues you have on PC aren't there on PS5. So,
interesting.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah. I feel it's that you made a good point. If you've got, that's probably one reason it's been so popular, is that it's completely free, and it's definitely, and actually this is a sort of game that suits those subscription services, because it's free. it's only short. It's something you'll just play through and then you've done it.
Yep, probably never do it again.
No, I can't see myself ever playing the game again.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see myself going back to it ever again. I'm not that invested in finding all the memories and stuff to make it worthwhile. If by finding memories, see, at first I thought those sort of checkpoint memories would be found by you finding a certain number of non-checkpoint memories, but it's not. So yeah, I'm not bothered by going back. I can't see myself going back. I've played it through. I've had my money. I've got my money's worth out of it because it's so cheap. I'm quite happy.
Yeah, truth me be told. Too. I haven't finished it, but yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, the game could have been completely shit and only lasted for 4 hours. For the money I paid for it, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It plays fine. It's a neat little gimmick with a goofy little story.
Yeah.
Cool.
And let's be honest, there are quite a few games that cost you 60, 70 quid that are only about 4 hours long.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, it's pitched just right. And also, I think it's a bit of a... It's a palate cleanser from your average game. It stands out because it's a bit. It's got a unique gimmick, as it were. I mean, it's not the first game you've ever played as an animal, but it's not something that you see very often. It's been neatly done. They've included all the tropes of being a cat have been included in there.
I will actually say one thing I haven't mentioned as yet. One thing that did throw me off was the fact that you are a cat. So, for example, I'm looking around the world and I'm like, there's a shut door there. Can't get through that. Shut. I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. I'm a cat. Of course I can. There's a hole. Just go through the fucking hole, dude. You don't have to open the door. You're a cat.
Well, some of the doors you can walk up to and stand on and scratch them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll come and open the door for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's got little neat little bits in there and so forth. Definitely a fun little bit of amusement.
It's neat.
Yeah, it's a palate cleanser from what you normally play.
Chest high walls.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's what I've been playing. That's the only game I've been playing. So
that's it.
Yeah, so that's it. Well, very much enjoying on our little short cast this evening. We look forward to seeing you on a fortnight's time on August the 13th for episode 198. Nearly at the mythical 200. I better do something. I better think.
No bells,
something.
Please.
Oh, no, it won't be bells.
Thank fuck.
No bells at all. There'll be one of those little whoop whistles.
Oh, mate, no.
Yeah. Something else that makes noise. I'll have a whole soundboard set up.
Bastard, because I wouldn't put it past you. I would not put it past you.
Yeah. Of cheesy sound effects. I'll just have all my keyboard mapped. Rip. Well, that's all stuff. All right. So join us on the 13th of August at 8:30. See you then. You can also join us on our games night this Tuesday on the 2nd. 8:30, you can see me on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/thesuffergram.
And twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US.
And very much, guys, and we'll see you all in a fortnight's time.
Yes.
See you later. Bye.
Take it easy, guys.